Amen. Brother Andrew, would you mind? From the great state of Maine. I think I heard that at the Republican National Convention. From the great state of Maine. The land of flowing with maple syrup. Come and encourage you, brother. Thank you, Lord, for my brother. Father, bless my brother, Lord. Thank you for his life. In Jesus' name.
Brother, I'm honored to stand in front of you this morning and share what God has put on my heart. It's kind of spur of the moment, but I think it's important to always be ready to give a confession of your faith, because it dwells within us. It's alive. It's something that's not abstract. We don't have to go to Mecca to find it. It's within us. Thinking about the kingdom of God, Jesus said, he said, don't say, lo, it's here, or lo, it's there. He says, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And I think of on the day of Pentecost when the brethren received that gift, which later Paul went to Ephesus, all the brethren that were baptized unto John's baptism, said, have you received? Have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost since you believed? And the brethren said, well, we haven't even heard. What Paul preached unto them, Jesus. They were baptized in the name of the Lord. They received something very powerful, very precious, that ultimately, no doubt, gave them that power that Jesus said, that the things I do, you shall do, and greater, because I go to my Father. Why? Because we have power. Jesus said, I give you power. Brothers, I don't know what I'm going to share. I'm a man that I've walked with the Lord for 40 years also, as my brother Phil. And I can speak a nice message that I'm sure all of you could say amen to. And I just believe, as men of God, we need to be instant and instant in the Spirit. We need to be we need to be in tune with what the Lord is doing at this present time, because at this present time, God is speaking to us. And the message that we had from yesterday, it may be pertinent to us, but there's something more important, and it's now faith. It's the now faith that God wants to give us. You know, that word now wasn't just arbitrarily put there. It was speaking that it's now. It's now. And I believe God has a word for us all here now. Because the words of the wise are as goads, amen? And what is a goad? A goad is a provoker, a prodder. And I sense that. God is wanting to provoke us. Why? Unto love and to good works. God is trying to stir us up. The gifts that are within us, trying to stir us up. Why? Well, brother, Jesus said that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And we need to examine ourselves and prove our own selves whether this is happening. Because we'll either be one of the two. We'll either be rivers of living waters, or we're going to be a pond. Just receiving, and not bringing forth. Your blessing is going to come, brothers, by sharing what God has given you. The talents that God has given you. Your increase, your prosperity will come by sharing what God has given you. Don't be a pond. Be a river. Amen. Goads, to be a goad. Brother, if there's ever a time to provoke one another to love and to good works, it's today. Listen, the hour has come where we see darkness because iniquity is abounding. But where iniquity abounds, what abounds the more? Amen. And this is what we're seeing, the grace of God pleading with us. Enter into the kingdom. Enter into his presence. Enter into that sitting in heavenly places with Christ today while we're upon the earth. Amen. Amen. Being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove, if there's ever a time to prove, because the standard of the Lord has been taken from the land. And that standard was designed that when the enemy would come in like a flood, that standard, the Spirit of the Lord would rise up that standard against it. Thus we would know what is darkness and what is light. Like Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Right now, it's everything's fuzzy and cloudy. People are preaching things that they're preaching at Jesus that I don't even know anymore. I don't understand what they're saying. They're speaking from a spirit that I haven't received. Nor will I by the grace of God, nor should you. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, it's going to be possible that you will be deceived. No, it will be evident that you will be deceived. Because if it was possible, they're going to deceive the very elect. Brethren, we've all been called unto a glorious gospel. But that, we can't stop at being called. The Bible says, let your calling and election be sure. That's why many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, few are going to be elected, the Bible says. That's why the scriptures say it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I hear a trumpet, brothers, and I'm assured, being filled with the Spirit of God, as you men are also, you hear the same trumpet. The Bible says if the trumpet blows an uncertain sound, who can prepare for battle? Well, you know, we understand that. So that I know we're hearing the same things. I understand we're hearing the same things. And even though it's a bit abstract because we don't quite understand what's totally around the corner, although Jesus has said to us that I don't call you my servants. He said, I call you my friends. He says, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. He said, but behold, he said, I've told you everything. I've done everything for you. And now you've got to receive it. You've got to walk in it. You've got to adorn yourself with it. You've got to put it on. The whole armor. Because God, the Lord's wanting to show us what's around the corner. Why? To be prepared. Like the brother was saying, there's something soon that's going to be unleashed that's going to separate the believers from the make-believers. Be assured of that. It's going to separate the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares. Now they're very similar. We're growing together with them. And Jesus said, don't pluck them up. I can testify I've been a goat. In my presentation of being a sheep, I've been a goat. But thanks be to God, he left the 99 and he came and found me. And I'm sure you're subject to the same things, brothers. We're under the same cloak of death. We've all inherited the same things, and there's nothing new under the sun. And the brothers that have gone before us, that were pillars in the faith, they had no doubt endured the same things as we are enduring today. And he asked the Lord, but Lord, then who can be saved? Jesus said, with men it's impossible. It's impossible for you to be transformed into the image of the Most High. It's impossible for you to enter in on your own accord or your own knowledge. Impossible. I hear a trumpet, and I know you, brethren, to hear the same thing, and it's a trumpet of preparation. It's a trumpet of sobriety, being sober, being watching and praying. Because we have an hour with that our Lord is coming, and he's coming in an hour when we think not. I think of the 10 virgins. Who would have known? They were all virgins. They all were adorned as virgins. They all slept, they all had lamps, they all heard the bridegroom. 5. Redeemed the time and were prepared. 5 were slumberingly foolish. And when they arose, their first response to their lack was, give us of your oil, for ours have gone out. Could it be that they went to sleep and slumbered with the understanding or the mindset that if the Lord should come during this time, that I'll just ask my brother because he's obligated because we're Christians. Not so. Not that would be enough for me also. We're corporate, but we're individual. We're corporate, but you've got to get what is needed. You need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And when you receive this faith, brother, you need to expend it. You need to spend it in the body of Christ, not only those that are within, but those that are without. Ministering to the ones, pleading men to come in to this glorious kingdom. Amen. Do you feel the urgency, brother? Do you feel, do you sense the trumpet that the Lord is saying? These are the days. Just think, brother, 40 years ago, we read scripture. And we thought, how could this be? It's upon us. Everything is setting into place. Don't be dismayed with the things you hear in Egypt about the brethren of the Muslim and the king that's now on the throne there. Don't be dismayed. God's setting kings in authority, and he's taking them down, but it's ultimately to fulfill his will. Do you understand? There's not going to be a revival. The Bible doesn't say so. It's going to be a great falling away. Because their ears have waxed dull of hearing, and they're sitting in their spiritual rocking chairs saying, where's the promise of his coming? And they're sleepy, and they're slumbering. That's why the Bible says to redeem the time. You go by the graveyards, brother, there's time no more with these people that are in the grave. No more. They can't say, well, I'm going to change. Their fate is sealed. Does this bear witness? Is this encouraging? I'm not an alarmist. I'm not going around with all the skies falling. And I'm trying to be an encouragement to the body of Christ. No, I believe that that's my calling. And even though I preach redundantly, it seems, over and over, I say, Father, please give me something more to share. Let me be more of an urge. And the Lord just doesn't let me get out of this area where this is my... And then the Lord, this is what I have to share. And brother, because this is the marrow I have for the body of Christ. This is what God has given me to encourage you as my family. And everyone here has got something specific that is designed for you to share. The marrow that you have. Because we're members in particular, as the marrow flows, what is that's life. Don't despise the day of small things. Don't despise, don't think that just because I don't have great understanding or I can quote scriptures. I used to tell brother, don't memorize the Bible. One brother got offended at me for saying that. I said, but listen, it can't reside here. It's got to reside here. Out of your belly. Out of your very core. Because the work of this Spirit that Jesus said, howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, it will lead you and to guide you into all truth. That's what it does. It brings forth Christ in us. Amen. I was in a congregation the other day, and I said to the brethren, I said, listen, I said, I am so grieved because all I smell is sour milk. When I go to congregations, all I smell is sour milk. It's like milk upon milk upon milk being preached. Brother, where is the meat? We've all nursed upon the breast of the Lord, but where's the meat? Where's the meat being taught? Amen. This is it. This is the season. Amen. Because there's a separation. Jesus said, do you think that I've come to send peace upon earth? He said, nay, I've come to send a sword. And the sword is separating brothers, the dear brothers that I've held dear to. It's like, where have you gone? Why are you doing this? Oh, God said to me to do this, do that. I said, but you need to judge your actions by the word of God. As us. You understand how deadly the carnal mind is? Do we understand that? It's death. And you and I, we've all inherited death. We've all inherited that carnal mind. We need to be walking in the spiritual mind. I'll tell you something. The carnal mind loves the milk. The Bible says to eat the whole book. It says, shall be in thy mouth as sweet as honey, but in thy belly it shall be bitter. Listen, it seems to me the false church is just loving the milk. They're loving the word in their mouth. Because it's sweet. It makes them feel warm and fuzzy. They feel redeemed. And they feel like, oh, this trouble that's coming upon the earth, I'm going to be raptured out of. It's a lie. They love it in their milk. They love it in their mouth. I'm sorry. They love the word in their mouth. What God showed me is that when it becomes in our belly, we digest it. And when the word of God comes into our belly, what does it cause us to do? But to die. To die. John the Baptist, being filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb, understood. He said, I must decrease. He must increase. Brother, I see this through a glass darkly. I'm like you. I haven't overcome. In other words, I'm still wrestling with this. And therefore, I see Paul, a pillar in the faith, saying, oh, wretched man that I am. He was wrestling with the same thing. The things that I would do, I don't do. But the things that I would not do, that I do. We need each other. Amen. Listen, having the word in your mouth is not going to be sufficient. No matter how sweet it is, we have got to put it in our belly and we've got to digest it. Jesus said, now you are clean through the words that I've spoken. Amen? Amen. That's what transforms us from this vile nature that we've all inherited through the sin of our father, Adam. And because of his transgression, we've all inherited death. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? This is the trumpet. Prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. This is the trumpet that's sounding in our hearts today. And there's a plethora of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. There's a table set before us in the presence of our enemy right now in this place. And let me assure you, the enemy is not out there. The enemy is this. In the presence of our enemy, it's the enemy of the carnal mind. That is foolishness. That is, they always will interpret the word of God to be foolishness. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You will never be redeemed by having the word just in your mouth. It's got to do the work. It enlightens our eyes. It changes our very core of our nature, which, brothers, you can change your mind. God has given you, as his creation, the only creation upon earth that can change its mind. The squirrels, the air, the deer, the other beasts of the field, they can't change their minds. Whatever God has put in their heart to do, that's all they know to do. But you, brethren, you as men, born of woman, God created you to make a choice. But let me assure you something. You can only change your mind. And if you have a mind conversion, it's not going to be enough. Because when the back's against the wall, and it was displayed in Peter, when his back was against the wall, he denied the Lord. You never see him denying it after the day of Pentecost. You can change your mind, but you can't change what's in your heart. You can't. You can't. Don't fool yourself. You can feign yourself, as we are all good actors. We know when to say praise the Lord. We know when to pat each other on the back and say, I love you, brother. It's got to go beyond that. We have to have a heart transplant, a change of our very core that only can come in our submission to Jesus Christ and receiving this gift that Jesus said, I'm with you, but the day shall come, I shall be in you. Does this bear witness? I really want to encourage you, brothers, we are a body. We are a body. And God gives us specific things to minister to the body of Christ, as I said before. And I really want to make this very clear because don't bury your talents in the ground. Amen. You will be watered by the very water that proceeds out of your mouth. You understand the scriptures say that he that watereth others, he himself shall be watered. Paraphrased a bit, but it's the truth. You will be fed by the meat being proceeding out of your mouth by encouraging the brother and sister. That's your meat. this is all good wisdom. Wonderful things. And I just believe that God is calling us to enter in, like you said, Brother Reggie, this is another season being put forth. And to me, there's a dividing line that's happening and becoming more clear. Jesus said, many shall come to me in that day. But Lord, they said, haven't we prophesied? Didn't we prophesy in thy name? And in thy name do all these wonderful works? They knew the rule book. They had the word in their mouth. Wasn't enough. Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know who you are. And he could have probably added, and you clearly did not know who I was. Brother, we're going away like I told my brother Jim that came with me from Maine. I said, listen, brother, I said, I know there's going to be a lot of meat placed on the table, and it's going to be tremendously overwhelming that you're going to try to grasp this. I said, eat what you can and be like a chipmunk and just put it in the sides of your mouth and chew on it later. This is the faithfulness of God warning us, encouraging us by the different members of the body of Christ ministering to the needs and to your hearts, not just to your mind, more to your hearts. Amen. This is the time. This is the time where we are running with the footmen still. We have not had to seal our testimony with our own blood. Soon we will, because Jesus told us and warned us, listen, a servant isn't above his master, nor a disciple above those. Lord, he said, if they've done it unto me, they're going to do it to you. Why did they crucify Jesus? Because he was the light of the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Don't hide it under a bushel. Why? Because the world loves darkness rather than light. We're going to seal our testimony with our own blood. But if I can encourage you that, again, the Spirit of God would cause us to die, to decrease that he might increase. Jesus said, except the corn of wheat fall to the ground, and it abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth fruit. The only way we can grow is by dying.
Absolutely.
Amen?
Absolutely.
The only way we can excel and prosper in the Lord, if this prosperity that Jesus talked about, is by dying. And look at our dear brother Steve. He was a second martyr, according in the New Testament. John the Baptist was the first. look at his response to the gnashing of the teeth and the stoning of finally his demise, his death. Look at how he responded to it. Let me assure you, brothers, they were killing a dead man. They were killing a dead man. This man was prepared for that time. And just as we need to be prepared for this time. When Jesus said, if any man come after me, doesn't take up his cross and follow me daily, the Bible says, he wasn't talking about taking a stick or a log and hanging it over your shoulder and walking around. He was talking about death. Crucifixion, the cross was a symbol, was death. Do you understand? Brother, I don't want to die. I find a war in my members. I want to live. The Spirit of God provokes me. You die to this, Andrew. If you have opportunity, you die to it. Then I find I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I don't know how to die to my carnal nature. It seems like I try to resist it according to my own strength. Now, the Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But I find, through the Spirit, I'm a new creature in Christ.
Amen.
And because of this, the Lord is teaching me how to die. The Bible says, because he laid down his life for us, we have to lay down our lives for him. No, it doesn't say that. We have to lay down our lives for the brethren. It's all about the brethren. It's all about the body of Christ. Your love, you can say you love the Lord, but if you hate your brother, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. How can you say you love God if you can't love your brother? The answer is you can't. How do we love one another? Well, I'll tell you something. Our carnal nature loves one another in word and in tongue. It's inexpensive. Words are inexpensive. It doesn't cost anything. Jesus said, love neither in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, how do we do that? By the Spirit of God. So may I just ask you, have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost since you believed? Essential. Answer that. Search your own heart. Prove your own self whether you be in the faith or not, lest you be reprobate. Because this is what you're going to need. This is the very essence of our... This is our salvation. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us. Doing a work that is far beyond what we do naturally. Keep the word in our mouth. And what I meant by not memorizing the word, I meant this. We've got to understand, Jesus said, lest you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you shall have no life in you. He wasn't saying taking a bite out of his arm, but he said his words are meat indeed. That's food. That's food to the inward man. And that's what you need to be doting about, the inward man. Make sure it's fed. Don't let your soul suffer hunger. Take the word. Mm-hmm. What it says, how therefore shall a young man cleanse his way? Mm-hmm. By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Yes. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. On and on. We are cleansed through this word. Let it dwell richly in you. Don't neglect the word. I would encourage you, read the scriptures more than you read documentaries. Read the scriptures before you meet, read more words of men's commentaries. And I'll tell you why. The word judges. The word is what separates the leaven. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Well, there's a lot of leaven that would leaven your loaf if you allow it. But if you take the word, that's what... We can say yay, let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. Anything more than that is sin. That's what causes us to say yay, Lord, yay. Because we have a standard to judge by, which is this word. Eat the whole book. And it shall be in thy mouth as sweet as honey, but in thy belly it shall be bitter. Don't expect it to make you feel warm and fuzzy in the carnal mind. You're going to hate it. The flesh hates it. Do you understand that? But the inward man rejoices, the inward man which is renewed day by day. That's where the rejoicing is. Doing a work that only it can do. Because again, you're bound to your nature. You are a servant to your nature. You can guise it up and make it look all different, but you will be in bondage to your nature to the day you die without Jesus Christ being your redeemer. Without Jesus Christ being your savior. Saving yourself from what? From the very thing we have all inherited, which is death. God told our mother and father, according to the flesh, in the day you eat this, you shall surely die. The serpent changed the scripture, or changed the word, and threw in a three-letter word. And because of that three-letter word, we've all inherited death. N-O-T. And beguiled. Beguiled. Amen? Yes. He transformed himself into an angel of light, as the scripture said. Be encouraged. Like this brother said, we have a kingdom whose maker and builder is God. We're seeking one. We're declaring that plain. Listen, we're looking for something. But the kingdom of God is within us today. And we can actually dwell in this kingdom today. We can learn to love one another today, far beyond our own ability to love. We can lay down our lives for our brothers today. Amen. So we are thoroughly furnished. We are complete. You know, when Jesus said it's finished, I've kind of just looked, you know, said, oh, amen, Lord, you finished it. But the Lord showed me something. There's really no more he can do. He's done it all. He's done it all. And he said, it's finished. It's over. It's completed. He blazed the trail back to God, as it says, "For thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests." Amen. "And we shall reign upon the earth." Hallelujah.
Amen.
When the brethren said, I may be speaking a little too much, but when the brethren said, "Lord, who can be saved?" And as I said earlier, he says, "With men, this is impossible. And also, I can do all things." A-L-L. "And the same for you. We can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us." Brothers, I need you. I guess just to sum it up, I need you. I need your talents to flow into my life. I need your marrow to flow into my life, making it very personal. When whomever it is, Brother Matt, or just anybody here, not only here, but other members of the body, I need you. And as feeble as I am, you need me. Amen. We need each other. You know, it says, "For God gave some apostles and prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man," which we can dovetail into what Jesus said, "Be thou perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Of your own self, brother, you are inadequate. But by reason of the body of Christ brings forth this perfection. Isn't that true? Isn't that the truth? I mean, do you see? And we have been trained, we have been taught by our society, by this world, to be independent of each other. Is that true? We need to reprove that. We need to rebuke that spirit. We need to war against that spirit. We need to cast that down and bring it to the obedience of Christ, because we are members in particular of one body. Well, brothers, hallelujah. We have a blessed hope that we have believed in, and we've all been called. We've all heard a trumpet. We've all heard his calling. I, like Brother Phil, I was 18 years old. Two men, I was brought up in a heathen home, and two men came by and told me about Jesus. And because of it, I left my home. I left everything with a backpack on my back and a Bible in my hand. And I didn't know where I was going or what I was going to do. But I left on just a couple of scriptures. And the scriptures were these: "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever."
Yes.
That was food. It was food to this inward man that was starving, that was malnutritioned, that had no concept of who this God was. I was brought up Roman Catholic, and I thought Jesus was a plastic crucifix, and if it was an expensive Jesus, it'd be gold or silver. Or it was another fairy tale lie that society, my parents told me about Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, and all that. Because of those scriptures, "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me," Jesus said, "scattereth abroad. And he that forsaketh not all that he has cannot be my disciple." Those scriptures, brother, I left everything. I just left. I said, "God, there's got to be a people that are serving you." And I ended up in Washington, D.C. And I slept in a park called Montrose. And just down over the hill, 30 feet away, I'm sharing my sleeping bag with a drunkard in the bushes. That just 6 hours before, I gave this man all the money I had. I said, "Lord, if I'm going to trust you, I'm going to trust you totally." And I gave him all the money I had. And by this time, he was well nigh drunk. And he came in. I'm sitting in the gazebo. And like, "Oh, Father, what am I going to do? I mean, here I just left a beautiful condominium. My father was a big lobbyist on Capitol Hill and so on. And I had all the things. And here I was sitting in a city park at 2 in the morning thinking, "Lord, what am I going to do?" But I had the faith of a grain of mustard seed. And I just believed that he was going to see me through. And this drunkard came in and I recognized him. He didn't know who I was. And he said, "Come on, let's box." I said, "I don't want to fight." I said, "But listen," I said, "I'm going to go sleep in those bushes over there." And I said, "You're welcome to share my sleeping bag with me." And he kind of thought that was awful strange, but he slept with me. But just the next morning, he was gone, and I was just laying in the bushes by myself, it's like I was just cradled in the arms of God. Looking back, I, as a little child, just trusted in this touch, and I didn't even understand it. And within a matter of 6 hours, I met some brethren that I dwelt with for 7-8 years, and they were just sleeping, a little community of believers that in their infancy stage, responding to the Jesus movement, which I do believe there was a net cast upon the earth, and it caught both great and small. And these brethren were just out preaching Jesus. And I was, just how it all worked out, it was just miraculous. Brother Utep, I know you know that those two men coming in your fraternity house, you knew it was the hand of God. That today, because you responded to that in faith, you are treading this pathway, this highway. Amen. I appreciate you all very much, and I really do appreciate being here. It's my third year being here, and it's wondrous, wonderful, even far beyond some of my comprehension. I know these brothers, and I recognize the fact that these are their talents in which they share. They're not my talents. It's not that I can't glean from them, please understand, but I leave it for them. Like David said, I'm not going to exercise myself in things too high for me. But these brethren, like Brother Phil, which I've known him since, 77, he's always had this heart that he's speaking of this morning. This is what God has given him to exercise his talents in the body of Christ. Amen. What I shared with you this morning, these are my talents. These are my giftings. These are the things that God has given me to encourage the body of Christ. Search your hearts. God has given you something very specific, very, very pertinent, very important for the body of Christ to be exercised. Amen? Is that not true? So search your heart. Look at the laborers are few. And a laborer is worthy of his hire. God's commanded us to work. If any man doesn't work, neither let him eat. He's not taking go get a pick and dig holes and things. He's talking about in the harvest. Because if you don't work, you're not going to eat. Because what you're going to be feeding on is your labor by you expending your talents. Don't dig it and bury it. Use it for the glory of God. Put it to the exchangers and see it increase. Blessings to you, brothers.
Amen.
I appreciate
Thank you. Praise God. Amen.
You know, something that Andrew said struck me. He was talking about Stephen. And we're talking about the blessed hope and the soon appearing of our King. And you think of Stephen, a mob is getting ready to stone him to death. But the brother had the blessed hope. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I heard a brother recently preach on that. Well, it's the scripture say he's sitting at the right hand of God? And now he's standing at the right hand of God. Well, somebody said, it's kind of like at a football game when you want to cheer something. You stand up,
right.
And here he's cheering the first martyr coming home. Standing at the right hand of God, getting up off of his heavenly throne, Stephen. And he beheld Stephen, or Jesus, standing at the right hand of God. But the blessed hope, knowing just the faith that he had that one moment he's going to be in the middle of this mob, stoning him, but just knowing the next moment he was going to be in the arms of Jesus and in the kingdom of God. It's that hope that we're going to need in these coming days.
Amen.
That we're going to be translated, maybe from a martyr situation one minute to just a glorious kingdom the next minute. And that can give us encouragement. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I tell you, sometimes we talk about these things and we don't know. How do we challenge? I hope you're being challenged. I'm being challenged. I'm preaching to myself, brothers. I'm being challenged by my own words. But, you know, I love the way that Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount. You know, he finished that great message and with the words, "He who hears these words of mine and acts upon them will be likened unto a wise man that built his house on a rock. And the winds and the rain came, and they beat against that house. But the house didn't fall. It was strong. It was founded on the rock. But he who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be likened unto the foolish man that built his house on the sand. And the storm came." And there's a storm coming, brothers. Amen. And let me tell you now, it's the storm of the ages that's coming. And the winds beat against that house that was built on the sand, and down came the house. Acting on the word of God. How do we act on these things that we're hearing? That's a personal choice, how we're going to act on what we're learning together. But we want to be obedient. We want to do something. We want to walk out of here and do something different.
Amen?
Amen? We want to act upon that word. Yes, brother.
I just feel in my spirit that something has been downloaded into us. And I'd like, if maybe as brother bear witness to this, if we could just take a couple minutes and express through prayer or some kind of expression back to God what has just been challenged. I know my spirit man was
Amen.
Deeply moved, and I don't know if I just need to thank him. I don't know. I don't know. I bet you other brothers in here are feeling like I'm feeling, like we just want to somehow express
Amen.
This exhortation to our spirit.
Good answer. Good answer. And let's act upon what we've heard today just through a time of prayer and crying out to God. A good response, brother. I say amen. Let's do it.